touch me. You know my way. Even when I fail you, I know you love me. Your holy presence surrounding me in every season. I bow my knee where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You go before me. You shield my way. Your hand upholds me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way when you said that it is done. And when the earth's face falls from my eyes, and you stand before me, I know you love me. I bow my knee where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? I know you love.
Again, good morning. Today I have a very interesting subject. I've preached on this before, and I was this, me and Brother Dave and my brother Steve were discussing yesterday some things about maybe the status of the church or the division in the church, how I don't really want to mention names, and I'm not going to, but how the one side says this side, there's sides, basically what I'm getting at. There's division, sides. I have fellowshipped with born-again Christians all my Christian life, and we've had very, very little as far as disagreements. And the reason why that is because we're born again. The same Spirit is in us. So we might have minor issues where we might not agree with, but the essential things about Christianity we will agree on, because the Spirit, the same Spirit that got you born again, got me born again, so there should be very little as far as disputing things. There is somebody else on the outside, which is basically Satan, who tries to bring division, comes and seeds sows seeds of discourse and seeds of division and tares. And there even the Bible says, let the tares grow with the wheat, lest when you rip out the tares, you will also uproot the wheat. So we have to be very careful there too. But it breaks my heart when I see the church fighting so much against one against another, simply because we don't agree. Agree to disagree then, if you don't agree with certain doctrines. But when it comes to the gospel, there is no room for disagreement there. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, I've spoken on this subject before, and it needs to be shouted out again and again. That's where we cannot sway from. The gospel, there is only one way into the kingdom, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So there is only one way. That is not up for discussion. That's not up for dispute. We will separate paths on that subject where we cannot possibly fellowship. But there's other subjects we can agree to disagree on without. Sure, if you want to believe the gifts went out with the apostles, believe that. The reality of it is they didn't. But if you want to believe that, that's fine with me. I will not argue with you. But don't demonize the ones who believe that it's still around. The power of the Holy Ghost is still present. If it's not present, what am I feeling when I feel? What is anybody feeling? Some of our members got healed by the power of the Holy Ghost here. Was it Satan? You have to remember, when it comes to counterfeits, you have to also have the real thing. If you don't have something that's real, there can't be a counterfeit. Otherwise, it's not a counterfeit. So you can only counterfeit something that is actually real. It's up to you to discern what's real. And if you have the Spirit of God within you, He will quickly discern, because it's the Spirit of God within you that keeps us in all truth. So before I get into this message, I'm going to ask us to rise and let the Lord bless this message. So Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Lord, I pray for unity of the church to start happening, Lord, so that we all come together as one. Lord, I know there's no amount of preaching I can preach on to make that unity happen, but I know one thing, that we can educate one another in at least to start fighting from victory, knowing that we are. Our banner is you and the cross of Jesus Christ, and we will all come together. We know Satan, he will fall anyway. He will be defeated anyway. But the ones that were fighting on his side under the name of Christianity will be ashamed. So, Lord Jesus, you will open our hearts and start desiring the truth in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. So, basically what I'm going to start my message on is, whose side are you on? In the Old Testament, in Joshua 5, verse 13 and 14, and it came to pass when Joshua was in Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I come. In other words, I am for the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him. He was basically slain in the spirit. So did this happen? It happened back then. Why can't it happen today? So even that is a subject up for dispute. If somebody's slain in the spirit, is that scriptural? It happened all over the Bible, where people under the power of the Holy Ghost got knocked down, some for different reasons. Demons can manifest. If the power of God shows up, demons can manifest. Different things can happen. Expect different things to happen because it's not the norm. If the Holy Spirit clashes with something within you, you're going to have a counter reaction to that effect. And there's going to be an adverse reaction, maybe not always a good one. But when you're born again, you're seeking God's face, and things happen, you can it can hit you with joy, it can hit you with laughter, it can hit you with different things. Do we need to disagree on that? I don't think so, but we do. Why do we do it? Because some people have never experienced it, so they throw it out. So they throw the bone out, the meat out with the bone. In Galatians 5:13 to 15, King James Version, This is the Apostle Paul speaking. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not the liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So here he already saw back then when he wrote this, what can happen if we are not in agreement and the power of the Holy Spirit is not the one that's controlling our lives. And if we don't look to the author and the finisher of our faith. In Philippians 1, verse 15 to 18, King James Version. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bones. But others of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And in other words, what then? However, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, that the gospel is preached. So what do we do? If we don't agree with certain preachers on TV, the way they preach, the way they do things, the ones that are in question, that why I'm preaching on this message, you all know the ones, the names that would come up. I've heard and listened to everyone that they come against. They preach the gospel of Christ. I've heard them tell you about Jesus, about his love. I felt the power of the Holy Ghost when they preach. There are some I wouldn't pay two bits to listen to. I still will not run them. I will never, ever run somebody who preaches the gospel. And just because the certain one that comes against them, I will not run him either on the counter side of things. I will not come against him either, because I've heard him also preach the gospel, tell people about Jesus. So it goes both ways. We have to stop the vicious cycle of running one another. We are on the same side. And when this fight is over, we will look at one another and say, what have we allowed Satan to do here? And it's going to happen. I guarantee you that time is coming where we will look at one another and say, what have we done if we are involved in this slandering and in this running of preachers of the gospel? If you don't like them, switch them off. Simple, very simple. If you don't like my preaching, switch off that YouTube channel. And you will be happy that you did if you don't like it. But check your heart out. I know one thing. Jesus Christ changed my life, and I'm preaching from that point of view that I know if he changed my life, and he can also change yours. But you have to start from that foundation to become born again. If you're doing it from a religious point of view, you will always learn and never come to the knowledge of the truth. In Mark 9, verse 38 to 40, this is Jesus speaking, and John answered him. Well, this was John speaking, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in my name. Can you imagine that happened today? And he followed not us. He wasn't on part of reaching out ministries. But we told him not to. It's not possible that you can do that. But because he followed not us. And Jesus said, no, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against me is with us, is on our part. Jesus' own words. You want to argue with this? Argue with this. So if you hear somebody preach the gospel, if you hear somebody casting out devils, if you hear somebody lay hands on a sick, and even if he doesn't get healed, that's beside the point. I don't care if he gets healed or not. That's not the point. If he pray for the sick in Jesus' name, Jesus says, don't speak lightly of him, because he is on our side. In Matthew 13, verse 28 to 30, and he said unto them, an enemy has done, this was the tares and the weeds there, and he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will, sort of incomplete here because I didn't include all verses, but you'll get the point once I get to the end of the verse here. And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will you then that we go and gather them up, get them up? And he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. I didn't include this with Joel. I sort of added these scriptures later. But anyway, take my word for it. It's Matthew 13, 28. Let both grow together until harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye up together, first the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn. But what he was saying is don't root them up both. If somebody, if there's tares with us, leave them be. I know the tares in this is sort of not the same as what I'm talking about, but in any case, if there is something that needs to be dealt with, let it grow together, because you don't want to damage the wheat by tearing up, ripping out the tares. And again, this was a short message for me. I think I'm going to get the point across of what I wanted to make. In conclusion, is Galatians 8, verse 8 to 9. I don't know if I gave him this. I don't think I did. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. So that's, if they preach the gospel, any other gospel, there is only one gospel. And that's the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. Let him be accursed. And he said, and we said before, so then he repeats himself. And as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what than you have received, let him be accursed. What did he receive? What did Paul preach? Paul preached nothing else except the cross of Jesus Christ. I asked the Lord that starting in this church, you will refrain from even hanging out with people who run other preachers of the gospel. At least have the desire and the truth within you to check them out, see what they preach. When they preach Jesus, and that you see that they do preach Jesus, they give at the end a message of salvation, they are not against us. They are on the same, we are on the same side. We will never, ever agree on everything when it comes to doctrines. There will always be divisions because you can see it's evident. But that doesn't mean we can't fellowship and be in agreement on the basics of Christianity, on the preaching of the gospel, on having a relationship with Christ. There we all, I'm sure, agree that that is set in stone. We cannot have other ideas other than knowing that we need to be connected to the vine to bear fruit. We all have to have a desire within us to please the Lord and to do the things that are right in His sight. So again, I thank you for listening, and may the Lord open your eyes, and everybody listening by YouTube, refrain from slandering preachers of the gospel. It starts with us. Let us come together in unity, and we will see the devil do a few tailspins. The time will come when you'll see a manifestation of devils. You will see them. They will come. What will you do when you're faced with one of those? I've had some interesting testimonies at our prayer meetings just by educating people on what you can do when you're faced with demonic activity. The power has been given to you. We have all authority to come against those suckers, and those they are for real. And they are way more powerful than any of us. But we have something that they don't have, and that is Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to withstand and to come against them and to cast them out in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. God is still good. I was listening to talking about James's way of looking at things. I was listening to a rabbi, Messianic rabbi, preach the gospel. It was good. He had it down pat. And then in the end, he started talking about a flat earth. Anybody here believes in a flat earth? One? It's flat here. And I was thinking, how can you be so dumb in one part and so smart in another? In one part, God opens his eyes. In another part, it's his ignorance that keeps him. So I was amazed. He believes in a flat earth. Somehow, the earth is not a ball. We're on a flat surface, and if we go far enough, we'll fall off. So Everybody get a long rope. Make sure he doesn't fall off. I've been listening to different people on the internet. As you may notice, I have a lot of times to check out people. Many people think we're in the tribulation, whether we like it or not. The things that are happening is the tribulation. No, it's not. It's just a taste of what's going to come. God is giving this world a taste of what one world government can be like. And we've all experienced it. It's backing off for now, but it's coming back. I want to read out of Revelation chapter 4 in verse 1. After John was finished with the churches, God had shown him what the churches were doing. And now it says, after this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee what must be hereafter. That's after he's finished with the churches. I immediately was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and what sat on the throne. Is God finished with the churches? No, he's not. But one day, he will be. And he wants to tell us what will happen once he's finished. I want you to pay close attention. And before the throne, I'm going to skip some scriptures. But it would be good for you to read it. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 5. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. In the midst of the sea of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, and before and behind. So whatever beasts these are, I haven't seen any of them. So don't be shocked when you get to the throne of grace, because you're going to see some strange looking beings. But in the meantime, there's a sea of glass. Very interesting. What's that sea of glass doing before the throne? It's got a purpose. And when it talks about a sea, it's talking about a wide expanse. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And of the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. All at once that throne was filled up with tens of thousands of people. And who are those people? It says angels. But I beg to differ. But because they had a song that they were singing. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seats thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we stand and we shall reign with him on earth. Who will reign with Christ on earth? Angels? No. It'll be us, the Church of Jesus Christ. Who is on the sea of glass? It's the Church of Jesus Christ. How did they get there? All of a sudden, that sea of glass was filled with millions of people, hundreds of thousands and thousands. So, before the tribulation, if you're going to read in Revelation chapter 5, it goes on to talk about a seal being opened. And out of the seal comes a white horse, and then a red horse, and then a gray horse, and then a pale horse. That means the tribulation will begin after God's people have been brought before the throne of grace. We, the church, will be there when he opens the seal. And in my book, the rapture of the church is going to be the one that will fill up that sea of glass, where thousands and thousands of people are going to now be standing and watching what will take place here on earth as God starts to unleash his wrath upon this planet. He's not releasing his wrath now. What we're experiencing is human beings destroying the earth, bringing chaos, and trying to bring in the tribulation. Revelation chapter 7. Now listen to this one. We're in the tribulation. We're after the 144,000 have finished their ministry. And that's a surprise. And after this, I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no name could number. All of a sudden, he can number them. Before that, on the sea of glass, he could number them. There were thousands upon thousands. But after the 24 elders were finished preaching, they were a people which came out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And they all had white robes and planes in their hands, palms in their hands. And they were singing with a loud voice, singing salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne of the Lamb. So this is what we're experiencing. They're going to experience, some say, these people are going to be martyred. Some say they're going to be raptured. Personally, I believe they're going to be raptured because they're not crying out for vengeance yet. Hallelujah. There's another group on a little farther ahead that get martyred and they're going to be raptured. Oh, they're going to be killed for their faith. You have to differentiate between the coming of the Lord and taking out his saints. I think there's going to be three parts. And they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, which was thou which were slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and has made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. They're basically what the first bunch is doing. They are going to be ruling and reigning. So the ones at the rapture and the ones that come to heaven through the preaching of the 144,000, they will be ruling and reigning on this earth. And after this, in Revelation chapter 9, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which could not number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They had white robes and palms in their hand, crying with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and upon the Lamb." So they are rejoicing in God. They're rejoicing in what they're going to see as God starts to open the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the horrors of this planet will begin. Revelation chapter 7, one of the elders enters and said unto me, "What are they? What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they?" And he said, "Thou knowest." And he said to me, "They are they which come out of the tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. It's part of the tribulation saints are going to be raptured before the great tribulation begins. This is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting to watch. But the next batch that are going to be in heaven, they'll have a different song to sing. What's their song? "When will you avenge the ones that have killed us?" And God said, "Take a little while, for a while yet, till your brethren who are supposed to be killed will get killed." They're under the altar of God. These are not under the altar of God yet. They escaped with relative small injury. So we can look forward to that. It's going to be very interesting to watch as the climax of this world comes to an end. But I want to say one thing. Get ready for the rapture. According to Scripture, there's some that are going to miss it. Two will be at the door, at the mill grinding. One will be taken. One will be left. Two will be sleeping in a house. One will be taken. One will be left. Yes, we are heading in that direction very, very fast. You too need to understand this is not a joke. God is going to make short work on this planet. So be prepared. Get your heart right with God. Let the Lord open your heart to this and bless you. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every end.